Acts chapter 16. That would be right next to Acts chapter 15. Starting in the 13th verse. And while you're looking for that, tomorrow is the 24th of November. And once again, because I seem to find this calendar quite a bit during this time of year, I once again consult something that came up on the counter. November 24th. On this day in 1784, Zachary Taylor was born. Who was Zachary Taylor? What, Pat? Which one? Oh! 12th President of the United States was born on this day. Years later, acknowledging the gift of a Bible from some ladies out of Frankfort, Kentucky, he said, "It was the love of the truths of this great book that our fathers abandoned their native shores for the wilderness. Animated by its lofty principles, they toiled and suffered till the desert bloomed as a rose. The same truth sustained them in their resolutions to become a free nation. If there were in that book nothing but its great precept, 'All things whatsoever you would do that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them,' and if that precept were obeyed, our government might extend over the whole continent." Amen. "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Acts chapter 16, starting in the 13th verse. Paul and Silas in prison. I love this. I might get a little wound up, so bear with me. "And once when they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. And she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' And she kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' Crowd joined in the attack against them, and Paul and Silas and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and their jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We are all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, 'Release those men.' The jailer told Paul, 'The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace.'" I love that story. There is an old hymn that we need to sing more often. Give me that old time religion. Who remembers that song? Give me that old time religion. And one of the lines in there was Paul and Silas sitting in jail. And I always thought that that song had been written about me when I was a kid. Powerful set of verses. Let's ask God's blessing on them. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you that we are able to give forward praise, especially in 74:4 boxes. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing these words are. Pray that these words come from you, Father, not me. That they strengthen us in the days to come for this week. That they allow us to glean a little bit closer to you, Father. That they give us that path to follow where we may say we are Christians to the world and show them how to become as such. Strengthen us through these words. In Jesus' name. And all of his children said loudly, amen. Amen. What in the world are we thankful for? That's my question right now. What do you honestly have to be thankful for? I don't hear anybody saying anything, so it must be nothing. Hey! Mason, you are all right. Go get a piece of candy. Really, what in the world do you have to be thankful for? My truck is breaking down.
The house.
Again.
Family.
You know what we have to be thankful for? And I've heard these voices. Thank you for that. You know what we have to be thankful for? Everything. Every praise. Everything. All the time. I love hearing people saying they've gotten so far down they just can't see what's going on. And I have to think about how can you do that? I understand life can get heavy. I understand it can push down on you. But we're still here. Greg, how many people do we have here today?
42.
42? 42. Okay, that's a pretty good number. I want you to take a look around you. Each of you look around this room. Take a moment. I want you to look at the 42 gathered here today. 42. Okay? Now imagine if in this room were 409 people. Number one, y'all be sitting everywhere because I think we can only pack in, what, two? Two and a half, maybe? 400, we'd be strong. 409 people. In 1607, there were 409 people in the Jamestown colony. In 1610, there were 60. You want to get a feel for it? Look around again. There's 42 in here. That meant that 80% of the people died. A lot of people forget about 1610. We all get wrapped up in 1621, but we forget about in 1610 how they were on the edge of total destruction at the beginning of this country. 60 people from 409. Do you know how long ago that was? 404 years ago. That's a relatively small time in the history of the world, and we have forgotten it. And do you know what they did? They prayed. They gave thanks. They praised. In the darkest moments, we just had, Buffalo, New York, had 9 feet of snow. I promise you that I will never ask for it to snow axle deep on a Ferris wheel again. I got called and got yelled at for that this week. 9 feet of snow. Let me give you an idea how 9 feet is. This is 8.5. Okay? So there you go. From here to there, snow. In the Jamestown colony, it had snowed that deep. Everywhere. They were packed in. They had run out of food. They had run out of time. They had run out of everything but one simple item. They had the hope, and they had the prayer, and they had the praise. And they praised God, and they prayed. And in 1610, the fourth relief ship. You got to go back through your history. I'm not going to do that here today. Three of them left, but the fourth relief ship actually sent out, made it to them, and resupplied the colony and saved them from utter destruction in 1610. And they had Thanksgiving. It wasn't a set-apart holiday. It wasn't a national day. They didn't get the day off from work or the next day off from work. It's Thanksgiving Day. And what did they do? They went outside and they gave thanks. They stopped right there on the moment. And they prayed and they fasted and they praised God and they thanked Him and they gave everything continually to Him. They remembered that above all else, only God controls you. Amen. In the midst of all that destruction, we're often left with this image of the 1621 Thanksgiving, how the, you know, the pilgrims with the big hat and a buckle on the front end of it, they sat around the table and there was Massasoit and I don't know who else was all there, and they feasted for 3 days. Well, that's my kind of place, let me tell you right now. When they ran out of food, they went out and shot more and brought it in and ate it. That's great stuff, isn't it? And they feasted for 3 days. 1621, first Thanksgiving, there's two accounts of it. How they talk about on the first day of Thanksgiving, they went into the woods on a hunting party and shot so many birds that they didn't know what they would do with them. Well, I can help you with that. Cook them and eat them. They went and fired up their cook stoves. I'm just kidding. On the third day, the Indians, having been around the pilgrims for such a long period of time, went out with their own hunting party and brought back to help stock the stores no less than 10 prize deer. The first Thanksgiving. It had nothing to do with the date on a calendar. It had nothing to do with we're going to set a precedent that for the next 400 years this country will follow. It had nothing to do with anything. It had giving every praise they could to God Almighty, to their deliverer, to their healer, and thanking Him. How many people in this room praise Him in the good and the bad? Say amen. That didn't sound very convincing to me. That sounded to me like, Paul, you idiot. How are we supposed to say thank you when the world around us is crashing down? Because He said so. Because every praise counts. Every praise. Every praise. We get so caught up in the world around us that we forget how bad it could really be. I've read this story. It made me laugh. And I wish Martha was here, because I'd get fussed at for telling this story in church, but I'm going to do it anyway. And she's just out there watching, so I know I'll get in trouble somehow. In Budapest, a man went to his rabbi and complained. He said, life is unbearable. It's horrible. There's 9 of us living in a one-room house. 9 of us. We're getting on our nerves. We can't handle it. What can I do? Rabbi, being a thoughtful man, said, do you have any goats? Yes, we have 1 goat. He said, take that goat in the house and let it live with you. What? Take the goat in the house, let it live in the room with you. What? Do it for 1 week. Come back and see me. Man didn't know what to say, but he went home and he put the goat in the house for 1 week. Anybody here ever raised goats? Aren't they the most divinely smelling animals? Golly, Dad, I'd sooner have a pig living with me. I wouldn't eat him all at once, but they brought the goat in. And after 1 week, the man comes back and he says, we can't stand it. The goat is filthy. He messes everywhere. He makes a mess. He stinks. He's driving us crazy. The rabbi says, go home and let the goat out and come back in 1 week. The man says, well, what? And so he goes and does it. And 1 week later, the man comes back to the rabbi, and he's lit up, and he's radiant, and he tells the man, 1 week later, exclaiming, life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of every day, now that there is no goat, just the 9 of us living in 1 room. That's funny, isn't it? Because that's us. We get so lost sometimes in the swirling turmoil that we forget how bad it could really be. Linda sang a song she sings for me. I'm pretty near sure at every birthday. My favorite, one of my favorite hymns on my top 10. His Eyes on the Sparrow. You know the woman who wrote that was blind? Blind! And in her joy, she wrote that beautiful song. She actually wrote 500 hymns. Died at the ripe old age of 98, still writing. Could it get worse? I watched a safety video this week at work, which just, the man was out quail hunting with his son, and he had spooked up a covey of quail, and his son, who knew where he was, shot toward the direction of the quail, thinking his father had tracked after them, and shot his father in the face with a shotgun. Boom, lights out, no more sight. The man said things could be a lot worse. I'm thankful to be able to get up and walk. I give every praise, every day, every minute. Every praise. Going back to Scripture. Let's go back again to Paul and Silas. That Scripture, I don't think we do that Scripture justice when a pastor reads it. And today I'm going to let you know what that was. They got beat with canes and sticks and rocks and whips and chains and whatever they could find to beat them. Why? Because two men were proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can walk out there on that road and you can stand and holler at the top of your lungs, Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. You can go to downtown Hagerstown and nobody's going to beat you. They're going to walk around you. They're going to look at you and go, they must go to Longmeadow. These men were proclaiming and they got beat. They got beat until they were almost ready to pass out. And then they hauled them into jail. Now, jail wasn't this sliding bar and a cot and a toilet and a television set. It was a dingy, dirty, lights out, dark dungeon. And the front one wasn't good enough. The jailer put them all the way in the back and then put stocks on their feet. And we all know what they are. They made them sit on the dirty, cold, nasty floor with their backs tore up against a nasty wall and put wooden blocks on their feet so they couldn't move and chained their hands together and chained them to each other and chained them to the wall and shut the doors all the way out. And what'd they do? They sang. They praised him. They gave up every praise. They had Thanksgiving. Paul and Silas sitting in the jail. Give me that old time religion. I love that song. We're going to do that song, right? We're going to make that happen. Thank you, ladies. I get my way every now and then. Sometimes I lose it. They gave every praise to him. They prayed. They sang songs. The Bible says they kept right on hammering away. It doesn't say they sat there and they cried and they were unhappy about it. They praised God because they know at this moment that they are doing the work they're supposed to do. That's where it gets hard. I've had my share. You've had your share of disappointment and destruction in this life. You only need to look around for a minute to let it happen. I had written down here in my notes, how many times is it that you think we're starting to move in the direction God wants us, and then suddenly He changes everything up? When I came here a broken man, I thought, okay, this is where God wants me, and this direction is right. And then we bought that nice Pete, and we were happy about that. And then it blew up, and I was not happy about that. And I didn't praise God too much. I kick the tires on that thing, and I yell at it sometimes when I'm pulling the driveway. But what happened led me back to a place I'd once been and gave me a chance to talk about Christ again. Led me to a new direction and taught me, you will praise me, you will praise me, you will praise me. Every time we think that something is going our way and it changes for the worst, and you know what? It affects all of you. I don't care if you're rich, poor, good looking, like me, and in real good shape, like me. It hits everybody. Paul and Silas are doing the work of the Lord. Paul struck down on the road to Damascus, talked to by Jesus Christ from heaven. Have you forgotten that? Paul, who held the cloaks of the men who killed Stephen. Thought he had paid his debt. And now he's preaching the word, winds up in jail, and what happens? when it's at the lowest point, when it's at the most destructive point, we are told to praise Him. In James, the Church of the Brethren has this scripture laid aside in this book. This is the book of worship from the Church of the Brethren. You can see it's getting wore out. This book was printed in 1964. I carry this book. Why? Because my grandfather did. Got his notes in it. Everything. And in this book, when it talks about anointing, it goes to this scripture, James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is any one of you happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Say amen. Amen. It's what I believe. It's what I live by. Because I am far from perfect. Every praise, every moment, we need to praise Him for everything He's given us. Who in this room has heard of Willie Myrick? Nobody. Good. I was afraid I might tip my hand here in a minute. Willie Myrick is 9 years old. He's 10 years old now. Willie Myrick was down in Alabama, I think it was Alabama or Georgia, playing with his pet chihuahua. Which when I read that first line of this news story, made me laugh because the chihuahua, you know, it's what do you do with them? But he's in his front yard playing with his pet chihuahua, and a car rolls up on him. And the guy jumps out the car and grabs him and throws him in the car and drives off. Kidnaps him. You think that's a pretty dark time now, don't you? Willie, who I think must have the spirit of Paul and Silas. Wait a minute. Get stopped.
It's just the beginning.
Cover it back up for a second. I didn't know you had that well said. Thank you. Willie sang a song for the next 3 hours while the kidnapper drove around, sang the same song over and over and over again, which is funny because he's 9 years old. And 9 years old up to there about 15, they know how to make noises that they can do over and over and over and over and over again, which would make me drive the car off the side of the road. But this guy pulled the car over the side of the road because Willie kept singing the same song over and over again. He kept praising the Lord, and the kidnapper threw him out. He ran in the house, called his mom, and got saved. I heard this song this week. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, I know that I am an extremely biased and prejudiced man. If you know me, you know that I'm prejudiced. Because I don't think there's any music greater on the face of this earth than bluegrass. But, this past week I heard this song, and it taught me that there's probably going to be other music in heaven. The song got to me, and it taught me, and I wanted to teach you that every praise to Him is good. Every praise will kill the lights. If you get up and you get dancing,
you
Says it's not just Thanksgiving Day. Do you know what in the world you have to be thankful for? You have to be thankful for that you struggle. You have to be thankful for that you struggle. You get up to struggle again. Say amen. That's praiseful. That no matter what this world is doing, no matter what is going on over here, you get to get up in the morning and struggle against it with the help of the Almighty Father who will never leave your side. Like him locked in prison with Paul and Silas. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, we give every praise. We give every praise to our God. No matter what I struggle against, no matter how hard I think it is, I will praise Him and I will make that my thanksgiving. Say amen if you will.
Amen.
That's where I'm at. Paul and Silas in prison. In the psalmist, he writes these words in Psalm 150, and maybe some of you all know this by heart. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His unsurpassing greatness. Praise Him with the surrounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with cymbals and clashes. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Happy Thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father, we are lifted right now. We are taken forward. We know where we need to be. We know that every praise, every word of worship with one accord, every praise is to our Lord, is to You. You are our healer, our deliverer, our Savior. You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is thanksgiving. We are thankful, Father, that as we approach that day, as Christians, we know that Your hands wrought this land for us. We know, Father, that You gave us the will and the testament to follow Your word. And we pray, Father, that we will do it, that we will be lifted up and drawn forward in that moment. And we thank You, Father. We thank You for so many things. We thank You for the breath that we take. Though we may struggle to take that breath, we still get to take it until the day that You call us home. And like the Bible says in James, You will then heal us once and for all and make us righteous before You. We thank You, Father. We thank You for the ability to be here unharmed. We thank You, Father, that You have given us such a powerful message. We thank You, Father. We praise You. We praise You. We praise You. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, we are all bound together. And we said, amen. Amen. If you have a particular need, this is the day. Not tomorrow. Not 5 minutes from now. Not after you get in the car and close the door and say, I wish I'd have come forward. If you have that need today, come forward and leave it here on the prayer bench. And if you need that extra help, we stand ready to pray for you. Happy Thanksgiving. Every praise, praise the Lord. Amen.